name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Gypsy.
Yes, you are.
No last name.
You don't need a last name. Gypsy, that tells who you are. Because you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, Gypsy. No, The Flash. The Flash. We're talking about The Flash. And we're going to have some discussion. We're going to have some commentary on one of the episodes from season 3, and I'm excited to talk about it with Gypsy because I think you have some good insight.
I hope so.
Some good foresight, some good forethought. Yeah, you might not have that. I knew a Gypsy that had that once. I'll tell you about that in a little bit here.
Had the sight, like a crystal ball,
kinda,
and
like
everything.
That, yep. But I'll tell you about that Gypsy later. I don't want you to get confused. I'll call you Jay this time. And it's great to talk with you again this week about a fun episode.
Yeah, definitely a very fun episode that moved some stuff along and introduced us to what I thought was a pretty cool new character.
I think Cisco agrees with you, I think.
I think Cisco. Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Yeah, Cisco is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got some issues. I'd like to know a little bit more about Cisco's mother. I think she may be a.
Well, she liked Dante
she
better.
Did.
I think we.
And now
that.
I'm starting to think she was one of those kind of those tiger moms. You know, just a little more aggressive.
Tiger.
Yeah, you know,
moms. You
know what a tiger mom is?
I don't know that I've ever heard that phrase.
Like one of those moms that's really really strict. You know, that won't let their kids do anything that's specific things that they are allowed to do and foods are allowed to eat and things like that. So I think she might have been like that because, you know, Cisco's he's attracted to powerful women.
He is. Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Especially if they got powers very similar to yours. As we found out, she vibrates on a very similar frequency to him. So,
well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the episode that we are going to talk about and the Gypsy that we're going to talk about and when it all happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is episode 11 of season 3. Surprisingly, the episode was not called Gypsy. It was called Dead or Alive, and it aired originally on January 31st, 2017. With a story by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes, teleplay by Zach Stentz, and directed by Harry Girgian. Girgian. Boy, that just makes my cheeks like hurt when I try to pronounce
that. A lot of J's in that.
So,
I like it.
A lot of J's.
We're fans of J's.
J's are excellent. So this week, save the cheerleader, save Central City. That's how that goes,
something
right?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, and you know what? It's good enough for Wally anyway. He and Barry are doing a good job of keeping the city safe, and they're inspiring new stories by HR, who sends them back to Earth 19 to continue his literary legacy. Unfortunately, this has also drawn the attention of Gypsy, a bounty hunter who has used her HR Giger counter to find Wells on our Earth and bring him back to face punishment for the crime of playing musical universes. The team wouldn't let that happen, of course, so Cisco challenges Gypsy to trial by combat and hits on her all in the same breath. Yeah, that's so cool.
Well, why wouldn't you, you know?
he
was
smooth.
Respectful. Let me just say, I mean, you know, you
he
don't
was
be
very
disrespectful about
like,
this.
You know. Of course not. So while they work out exactly how Cisco is going to beat someone that's better than he is, thanks, Julian, the team also works out how Barry can get fast enough to stop Savitar. Luckily, Julian is there to explain how both of those are pretty much mathematically impossible, categorically speaking, with the X and the Y axis here. This might be a bit disheartening to Iris as she awaits her impending doom in 4 months, but she occupies her time by trying to make a difference in the city before she dies. Luckily, working together, they can solve all these problems and send Gypsy back to Earth 19 with a parting gift of multiple bags of coffee and a Star Labs home game. So, you know, after watching this episode, yeah, Josh, I've had this Fleetwood Mac song stuck in my head all week.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
You Make Loving Fun. It's weird. I don't know how that works, but
I don't know.
Just an earworm kind of thing.
I guess so, yeah. Earworm would be a good villain on The Flash as well, I think.
That would... A.K.A. Mr. Mind.
There you go.
Yes.
Maybe on the musical episode of Supergirl Flash, maybe that'll...
Oh, yeah. Music Meister with a special guest villain.
Yeah, maybe that's like his sidekick. Awesome. That'd be a good sidekick for Music Meister.
Yeah.
All right. We got to.
We can't give him all these good
ideas. I need to start copywriting these before I put them on air. all right. Well, a little bit of news this week that we wanted to share with you. And I want you to tell everybody about this first one because I have not yet seen it.
Yeah. This week on Legends of Tomorrow, this season on Legends of Tomorrow, Eobard Thawne has been back on, and which kind of didn't make sense if you watched the end of season one of The Flash. That's the reverse Flash, the yellow Flash. So we found out how Thawne could still be alive. And, of course, Legends of Tomorrow is all about time travel and stuff. And, of course, so Thawne fits right in there. But this week we get an appearance of Black Flash. His new moniker as Black Flash. It's kind of like Zoom has merged with one of the what were they called? The Time Wraiths?
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah, so you know his it's the Zoom outfit, but the mask is being torn away and it's a very mummified looking, you know, very scary kind of
Dementor-looking thing.
Mm-hmm, yep. And he's basically out to find Thawne. And I'll let you guys watch Legends of Tomorrow to get a little more information on that. But we had found out, I think we had news last week about it, or if we didn't cover it, news had come out in the last week that Black Flash would be showing up on a couple of the different shows. So it looks like, you know, this is his first post- Zoom appearance from The Flash on Legends of Tomorrow this week.
Interesting, interesting. Now he didn't Thawne make a reference to Rip Hunter in one of the last episodes of the first season? Didn't he tell Cisco Rip Hunter would be proud of his little time thing?
He might have, but I know he knew who Jay Garrick was.
Yeah.
I remember that part.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he might have, because there was the time sphere and stuff, which is what a number of the other villains, because the bad guys are forming the Legion of Doom. So it's Thawne, Malcolm Merlyn, and Damian Dark. And actually, this week's legend starts off with a voiceover like all the CW superhero shows do. And it's, my name is Damian Dark. I was killed last year by Oliver Queen in Starling City or something like that. And I'm like, wow, they're really taking this kind of to the extreme now with these shows. But they're using a time sphere.
I have said before that Legends of Tomorrow is one of those fun comic book shows that just kind of takes all the comic booky goodness and throws it into a TV show. So that's...
It is very much getting to the level of Challenge of the Super Friends, but not quite to Superpowers the show.
Well, it's like I said, it's lots of fun for me. So I hope people are enjoying it as well. And it's going to be back again next year. So sounds like some people are.
Yeah.
So, well,
Yep.
Also, I just wanted to point out that congratulations to The Flash this week.
Oh, you.
Actually Legends of Tomorrow. But we saw a ratings spike this week. The ratings were much improved. So not that they were low before, but it's always nice to see when they get a little boost. So congratulations to those shows, and let's just keep spreading the love so more people can watch The Flash and share in all the fun.
Well, and I would imagine Legends enjoyed that bump because it's now following The Flash since last week, since they came back from winter hiatus. They've moved from Thursdays, where it was one show, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends, across the 4 days of the week, to now being Supergirl, Flash, and Legends back-to-back, which I enjoy much better because then I don't have to, like, switch away.
I'm with you.
Turn off TV.
It fits better.
I can watch 3 hours of comic book shows on Tuesday night now. It's great.
Yeah, I do like that new placement. I think it's working and seems to be working for Legends. So,
yeah.
So congratulations, everybody that is working on this show. All right, so on the top of this discussion, I would just like to say a great big thanks from me for being a little bit more lighthearted week without too much brooding and darkness on the show. And this was not the only show that we watched that did that this week. So, I don't know. Much needed positivity for me. So, I was happy to enjoy the comedy and the... mostly from Cisco, you know. But that's okay. A little bit from HR, too. HR is growing on me more and more every week.
I think because Cisco starts liking him. I think that's our gateway into understanding HR. I mean, that's just my opinion of what's going on now, but I agree with you. HR is, he's being less annoying on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think I finally just kind of got that past that mental block of expecting him to be the genius that we've seen in the first two seasons.
For me, it's not quite as much that as really it's just he's so hyper and just he's one of those character. I mean, the character appears to be one of those people that he just craves. I don't know if it's attention or, positive feedback. So it's like a little puppy. He's just kind of jumping around all the time, just continually throwing stuff out there and just always wants to be the center of attention.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of thing. And
that gets annoying.
Really annoys me
in real life. Yeah. Yeah, that gets annoying. So, man, maybe they have toned down his annoyingness because I do enjoy him more than I did before. And I'm kind of guessing he's here to stay. Of course, they could change that, and that may have something to do with that scene that we see with him on the roof and the gun. But
For the when Iris is getting killed in the future.
To justify bringing back another Wells next season, it might start to get a little bit, a little bit too cheesy maybe. But
well, you know what they say, you can only go back to the same Wells so many times.
What a fantastic transition. I feel like I need to give you some kind of award for that this week. So
I'll just take it as part of my paycheck this week.
All right. I'll double what I've been giving you. So that's all right. Now, Gypsy is a new character we've seen this week, as we've mentioned so far. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about the character Gypsy from the comic books and her history just a little bit. Her origins and how long she's been around. Just I think that's kind of interesting to look back at TV characters and compare them. You don't have to say one's better than the other necessarily, but they definitely have to.
I do.
You do?
This Gypsy is way better than the original comic version.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, I like this one a lot, actually. So, well, the original Gypsy first appeared way back in 1984 in Justice League Annual number 2.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow.
I remember that, too, crazily enough. But Jerry Conway and Chuck Patton were her creators. And she had three different kinds of powers. She had like a chameleon power. I guess that's like a camouflage-y kind of thing, right?
Camouflage,
She could cast illusions. And then she also had this thing where she could see some future. She had a little bit of foresight. And if you think about like a gypsy with a crystal ball, I think that's kind of how they gave her that power.
Well, yeah, and her costume was like a Eastern European peasant girl with the long skirt with the the bangle bobble belt and the white top and the little bandana in her hair.
Which is horribly stereotypical.
oh, my gosh. And also, her first appearance was also Vibe's first appearance in his leather jacket and his breakdancing pants.
That's right. Not stereotypical at all. There you go. Jeez.
80s,
yeah,
I love you.
Yeah, and, you know, strangely enough, later on in the comics, she accurately predicted Vibe's death. So they had that connection in the comics, that kind of like in the show. I mean, not that death connection, but just, you know, those characters interacted. So for a while, she was a member of the Justice League America Detroit. And then in the very short-lived Justice League Task Force, which I believe I have all of those copies not too far away from where I'm sitting right now.
What, like 20 issues, I think, for that?
Yep. I used to buy all of it.
Yeah, JLA Detroit. It was, let's see, it was run by the Martian Manhunter. So, potentially, I think I mentioned this before on one of our shows, potentially next year we could get the Justice League Detroit there. We've got Martian Manhunter, Vibe, Gypsy, Vixen, Steel, all characters we have on the show, and I think the only character that has not been on the show so far is the Elongated Man, and he wasn't necessarily a core member of JLA Detroit either. So, if they can get Vixen and Martian Manhunter to come over to the crossover with Steel and Gypsy and Vibe, that would be awesome. I think that would be a cool little nod to the team in the comics.
Yeah, and a fun crossover. You know, they have done things with some comic book characters that I never expected that they would accomplish successfully. With, you know, things like Grodd and King Shark, and I mean, I've really been happy with the way they've done that. Do you think they could pull off Elongated Man?
You know, I mean, I remember the Plastic Man TV shows, but those were cartoons, right?
Yep.
And I'm thinking of the people really did not like any of the Fantastic Four movies. I think they hated the most recent one the most. but I thought in the ones with Ian Griffith as and Jessica Alba, those ones, I thought they did a pretty good job with Mr. Fantastic. So it depends on how well they could do it on a TV show budget. But I think you could do something with Elongated Man. It just, you know, with camera tricks and then one effect shot to kind of sell the illusion, they could probably pull it off in small doses as a, you know, as a guest appearance or something like
That would be pretty cool.
If they can have a guy running around super speed and all the CG they use for the, you know, for the Flash, there's a lot of times when he's running that it's not even Grant Gustin. It's just a computer graphic model, you know, so... They do a lot of CG that we just really
don't realize. That's another one of those things that if they could you know, pull it off successfully, and I trust their judgment as to what would be successful, I would love to see it. That'd be fun because that was a character that I really dug. Which, by the way, I like Plastic Man too. That was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. But all right, so that's it. The history of Gypsy, obviously much updated. They completely took her powers basically, and she just has the same powers as Vibe, which, you know, like or not like, if you liked the character of Gypsy, but at least it fit for this. And thank you for making her a little less gypsy looking. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Dead or Alive was the title of this episode. Now that is, you know, you said it could have been called Gypsy, of course, but this was more in reference to Harrison Wells' current status with the police of Earth 19, right?
19.
So, yeah. What is Dead or Alive? Where do you hear that? I mean, I guess people probably know this, right?
For me, it kind of stood out as, you know, it's kind of a common phrase for bounty hunters or, you know, wanted posters, I guess. But, you know, you see that it's like, and of course, Dead or Alive, you're coming with me. Is, you know, that's one of the things I think of. So, you know, she's sent to get HR, Gypsy is sent to get HR, and, you know, she doesn't potentially care how she takes him back. She'd probably rather just have him walk back, but, you know, she was willing to kill him or kill, you know, Sisko in order to take her bounty back. And it wasn't necessarily a bounty, I guess. I mean, she was a collector, but I didn't know that. You know, it seemed like she was more of a police officer.
Did it? I kind of felt like it was a bounty hunter. I felt like she would, that's her job, is to go and get people, which is what a bounty hunter does.
Right, but a bounty hunter to me, I know in the in the real world, you know, there are such things as bounty hunters, but when we're talking about, you know, sci-fi stuff, you know, it's always someone who always seems like they're just a little bit outside the law. I know that bounty hunters are actually used, you know, are as people that do work inside the law to help police, you know, apprehend people and stuff like that. But I felt she was a little bit more legitimate, just in terms of her authority, than bounty hunters we would normally see in a genre type show.
Yeah, it could be.
I guess that's kind of what I was going
for. Well, she was. It seemed as if she was the leader in her field, at least. You know, HR knew who she was. Just
it makes you wonder, though. Is, you know, if she did seem to get defeated relatively easy, whether that was by her design or whether Sisko was just good enough. But, you know, she's like, well, we've got to preserve my
reputation.
Right. Reputation. Right. So is her reputation built on actually bringing people back, or does she just do a lot of stuff like what we saw here?
Or me.
Kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, how truthful is she? Because at the end, Barry was saying something, or someone was kind of questioning something about it. There was the amount of coffee she was taking back. They were questioning that. But it was something that seemed slightly illegal. Oh, it was that she was taking so much coffee back, and she's like, "Well, I won't tell anybody if you don't."
Well, and
so she seemed a little too easy to.
And she didn't seem like she was going to hesitate too much, you know, killing Wells and taking him back. And so maybe that's how she gets him.
Right.
maybe she does more of that than bringing him back alive. But so she's got these powers where she like Sisko, where she can open these breaches. And it is illegal to travel to different universes on Earth 19. So I can see where she might be a famous face or a well-known collector, as you said, if she has these abilities, because how many other people would be able to do that? Go and get people that are traveling illegally. So that might be.
That's true. Yeah, we don't know a lot about Earth 19, so that's
no.
You're right.
I know I'm never going there because there's no coffee, so that's all I care about. So dead or alive, obviously, like we said, so that referred to HR. But there was another sort of the B plot in this episode about Iris, and thank you to the writers for kind of spotlighting Iris here finally and reminding all of us that, she does have a job and she's a reporter and, you know.
And she does do it.
Yeah, that's right. And she wants to be really good. Now, granted, you know, within the last year and a half, she, you know, used to be a blogger, but, you know, still. So she's getting a little reckless. She's getting a little careless. Now, I don't want to say careless. Reckless is a better description, because she is going out and trying to do something good, but she doesn't seem to be afraid to die.
She does not. It's reckless. It's from the outside. It appears reckless. Like you said, you know, to everybody else, but I mean, she's got a really good point. If you know you're going to die in May, like, all right, well, that's when I'm going to die. So
that is the thing. She's been with them when they worked on changing the future, and she has seen things that have changed. She's, you know, at least one thing, because they just kind of started doing this. But so would you be that careless with your life if you thought, well, maybe there's a possibility I don't die? Does she really believe that she's savable, or is she just kind of – reserved herself to the fact that she's got a few months left to live?
Well, she did point out to Wally, you know, she's kind of made her peace with it. Like she knows she's going to die, and she's kind of she's already prepared herself for that. It's weird, you know, and it's kind of a question you know, people ask. It's like, if you know you're going to die, you know, say your doctor tells you you're going to die. Well, you know, there's, you know, people talk about all these stages that you go through, you know, and acceptance is towards the end there. You know, if you finally make peace with it, it's like, you know, it's like, I know pretty much I'm going to die. And if you knew the date you were going to die, like if everybody knew the date they were going to die, it would really change how you compose your life because, well, how do you believe? Is that a certainty? Or is it just one possible, one possible outcome? Given the fact that right now Barry and the team are busily trying to change a number of other things to affect the future, the fact that she may not die on that date because they're already changing elements that lead to that.
Yeah.
So if she keeps this up.
So maybe she doesn't die on that date. Or who's to say she didn't get, horribly mangled and paralyzed or something before that date? So I don't know. I sympathize with her attitude, and I'm not sure what I would do. You know, I have no idea how I would feel or what I would do to help those feelings. But one thing that she is doing is she wants to make a difference. So I kind of thought that was one of the underlying themes in this episode, because there were several characters that felt like they needed to make a difference. You can look at the obvious ones like Barry, who is always, you know, wants to make a difference. He's a hero. He wants to save the city. He wants to get the criminals. And right now he wants to save Iris. That's kind of his main goal. So much so
that's his, task
that he's letting Wally, have a little fun with his powers and letting him,
have more responsibility,
but he's also letting him get more recognition. Right. And kind of letting Wally be a kid or a Kid Flash in this case. Right. Wally, you know, has always wanted to make, well, he's wanted to make a difference since he got saved by the Flash, and, he's having a lot of fun doing it.
Imagine that you have this person you look up to, and then you have an interaction where that person markedly changes your life and then allows you to come join them on their adventures, and then you get to like pretty much take their place and do the same stuff and be that inspiration to other people.
You're talking about, are you talking about me? Because this is how I met you, right? Isn't that like, it's you inspired me. That's
aw, shucks. Kid Josh. But,
no, it'd be Kid J, because, you know.
Oh, Kid just yes, J period.
That's right.
Right. So
I kind of like that characterization of Wally in this, because that's a lot like how Kid Flash was in those comics all those years ago when he truly was Kid Flash in the – well, first in just the miniature Red Flash uniform until they finally decided to change that because it was difficult to tell them apart, and they changed it to that yellow headless one that kind of they're emulating here on the show.
Golly willikers,
and it was just like that. That's exactly what – hey, it was the 50s, you know. But – just in full disclosure, I this isn't any personal feelings towards Kenan Lonsdale or his performance of this, but I'm still not really sure how I feel about the character of Kid Flash on this series. And I don't know. I don't know if it's I don't want to say my favorite thing, but I don't know if it's something that I want them to continue to go in that direction. And I'm kind of wondering if they're going to. Have you noticed that he continues to get faster and faster?
Yeah.
And so much so that they're saying he's becoming faster more quickly than Barry did.
Yeah, he's going to – and now he's going to be the one that's going to have to save Iris.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's what they said at the end of this episode, which I thought was a nice – that's a nice little twist and a great way to look at it. You got to look at things in a different way if you can only see one possible outcome. And in this case, it was a graphically proven failure.
Well, what I was going to say is that – that's interesting what you're saying about Kid Flash, that because they're focusing on stuff that he's doing, right? We're seeing him save, you know, helping save these cheerleaders and doing other little things like that. You know, he's been in the, in like the cold opens, and he's becoming more integral to the team. He helped out, Iris, but we're seeing how he interacts with other characters, but we're really not getting what Wally wants. And that may be why you're not having really a strong connection with him, because we find out, you know, in episodes what Sisko wants. Sisko explains what he wants, and that helps us get into and understand the character. Barry is our hero, so we understand, you know, every episode what does Barry want? What's Barry feeling right now? And that helps us understand the character. Wally is doing more on the show as a superhero, but we're still at arm's length with the character. I don't feel like we're getting that insight. Even like we got a lot of good stuff with Iris this week, which we haven't had in a while. That was a really emotional scene for me with Iris and Barry, where she was, you know, basically talking about how she had, you know, resigned herself to that she was going to die. And even though Barry's trying to tell her that, you know, they're going to save her and everything like that. But we're just not getting that kind of stuff with Wally.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, hearing you say that, Ed, that is partly it. Maybe we need a more Wally centric episode to really get in the head of the character and understand his motivations and see who he really is. Cause we really have never gotten that so much. Just bits and pieces here and there.
I would imagine if they're going the way that I kind of think they might be with this character, and you may have some other things to say about this, I don't know, for this particular episode, but you know, if they're heading towards, we're making him faster and faster, so he's going to be the one that's going to try to save or will save Iris in the May episode. I have a feeling like right before that, end of April, beginning of May, we're going to get some Wally centered episodes that are really going to, you know, turn the people around in this character. We're going to learn to love this character. And then of course they're going to do something drastic to mess with everyone.
See, that is what I'm worried about. And emotions. I'm wondering if his powers are even going to be permanent. If he keeps getting faster, I don't know if something's going to happen or Speed Force siphon it off, burn him out. Yeah, I'm not sure. So I want to keep an eye on that. Just set it off to the side and kind of keep watching Wally on that. But I like the idea of a Wally-centric episode. Maybe we will get that soon. So Iris is the one that was really making a point of trying to make a difference. Since she is thinking she's going to die, I love that she pointed out that her dad makes a huge difference. Her brother is now making a difference. Wally, Barry has been making such a huge difference. And, you know, most of them because he caused the problems in the first place. But hey, we'll leave that alone.
You know, can't hold him responsible for everything. Exactly. She's being really unfair to herself.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's making unfair comparisons.
She's understating her role.
And she is understating her role in this, but she's also making unfair comparisons. But, you know, she does have a point, and I kind of feel her as a teacher. That is something that I think about consistently every single year, because I have a different group of kids every single year. And, you know, I mean, as a teacher, you want to make a difference in those kids' life so they grow up and become successful because of things that you taught them, right? And so I can see where she's coming from. You don't really want to leave this earth having not really done anything helpful. Well, most people don't.
But. Right. I saw one of those, and I wish I could find it now, because of course, you know, there's when you're online or going through Facebook or Twitter stuff, you know, stuff flows by so quickly, and I don't feel like there's some really cool stuff, and I feel like I should bookmark it somehow. But there was something about, you know, some quote about, you know, don't feel bad if you're not, you know, making these sweeping changes, because, you know, even the, you know, the most gentle breeze, you know, can make a change and stuff like that. So, you know, she's seeing these characters on the show that are affecting dozens and hundreds of people, and she feels like she's not, you know, she's not affecting anything, but she may be, you know, even if you're only affecting one person, Oh, that was what the quote was. It was like, don't worry if you're not affecting a lot of people, because even if you only affect one person, that's fine. And that one person can be you. And, you know, she's writing this like story too, you know, and I know that's kind of was the point of this episode. She was trying to make her mark by writing this story, but, you know, even just the support that she provides Barry is what keeps him going. I mean, that's what he was talking about, how he leans on all the people on the team, and that's how he keeps going. It's, you know, everybody is support staff for everybody else, you know, in a group like this, or a family or whatever it is. So if you feel like you're not there for anybody, you know, you may be affecting individuals that you don't even know about. And that's,
I think that is,
you know, that's something too.
One of the biggest lessons that the writers of all of the DC superhero shows have tried to share with the viewers over the years is that teamwork, friendship, camaraderie, that is how you become a hero. None of the heroes on the shows that are on the CW now, you know, are loners, are solo heroes. Even Green Arrow, who's traditionally a pretty pretty single superhero. You know, he's had some sidekicks in the past, but he's never really been a team man so much. But he absolutely relies on his team. So, I agree with you. That's very, very, very important. So now she's doing the story on these arms trafficking. And we talked last week about Plunder. Wait, was that it? No, Plunder, that was Arrow, wasn't it?
Plunder's the bad guy that they wouldn't arrest. Barry didn't want to arrest him because that would make the future country.
He was the guy with the technological gun, right? So yes. where are these guns coming from?
They're coming from that guy in that one guy in the warehouse.
That's it, huh?
That's
where
did
he get them? Why are they so advanced? Where are these advanced things? I think there's something else going on.
They are coming from rats' laboratories. which is it's like the reverse Star Labs.
Rats, huh?
Rats.
That's a good name. It's a good name for the evil Star Laboratories. Rats. That's not suspicious at all, is it?
So I don't know. And I feel like I'm torn because I've seen them do this before. It's like, it seems like they're building this up, but she kind of broke the arms deal kind of thing open, right? It seems like it's resolved by the end of this episode, but you know, where are they coming from? Maybe there's going to be more to that story and we're going to expand, but this may be the end. And I feel like they've set it up to be more. So I'd like it to be more, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep watching that then. If we don't have any other clues, other person trying to make a difference in this was HR. Now, you know, and I guess when I say make a difference, you know, I think he wants to maybe make his mark on the world. I don't know how much that's making a difference, but I think that's kind of what he wants. He wants to inspire people, you know?
Well, yeah, it's kind of it's pretty much the antithesis of what Iris is. So Iris is, she's happy with herself, but she hasn't made a mark. He's made a mark, but he felt like he was a fraud, so he has come here to reinvent himself and be more true to himself, I guess, is kind of what I got out of that.
He's starting over with a fresh life, which is a good way to do it if you're going to come to an Earth. But so why is he continuing to beam his stories back to Earth 19?
Because he craves that attention
that I was talking about earlier.
So.
But he said, you know, he looked at himself and he didn't like what he saw, basically. So
yeah, he was. What did he say he was looking at? Lost my notes here. Hang on a second. Oh, he looked at himself in the mirror.
Right. He's
He was asking himself to change his ways.
Well, that's the way to do it. I've heard that if you want to change your ways, that's where you look.
And if you want to make the world a better place, you take a look at yourself and be the change.
Well, the other person that is trying to be the change, or maybe the full dollar bill, I don't even know, was Cisco. And this, I thought this was...
Way to just gloss right over that.
Well, I was trying one of your fancy transitions. I didn't succeed as well as you did. See, I need a good segue. You need to train me. I'm only kid, Jay. I can't do it as well as you.
No, you're doing fine. Cisco, yes.
Now, Cisco just jumped right in there and volunteered to defend Wells.
He was set up.
Okay, he was set up.
Dude set me up. I'm clenching my fists here. That just upsets me so much because that's how much... I don't think HR even realizes what he's doing. I think it's so...
Oh, it's so ingrained now. It's a habit.
I'm going to use the term pathological in this sense. But yeah, because he's just like, well, of course, you know, it's fine. There's no way to save me. I mean, the only thing, you know, would have to be a trial by combat. And it's like, just throwing that out there, it's like, nobody knows what you're talking about. What does that involve? And of course, Barry was going to do it too because he overheard. But I liked that was the reason that, like, Cisco stood up for somebody. He forgot for a moment that it was Wells, I think probably because he was smitten with Gypsy.
A little bit.
And he...
But he did come out later and say, you know, he thought he could do it to pay back the other Wells for what he did.
The other Harry,
right?
Yeah. Or the other, well, the other Wells is the both of them,
even the evil one, because they did. I mean, they did change his life, and they did make a difference in him. And so I think even though he was kind of set up, and even though he didn't maybe realize it was to the death and the dangers it would cause, he was trying to do something that he thought was the right thing to do. He was trying to be the hero, right?
Have you ever done that? I mean, I know you play hero a lot.
Not trial by combat. No, okay. No. Yeah, I've never done that. No. Unless like hot dog
but
eating
like,
contest.
You know,
that doesn't count, does it?
Trial by hot dog? But, you know, like paying it forward. Somebody does something for you and maybe for, you know, any number of reasons, you are unable to thank them properly. You take that energy and you rechannel it and you do something for somebody else.
I think I have, yeah.
I'm not talking about me again.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. No.
So.
No, yeah, I think I have. You know, I'm certain people in my life, especially some elderly people that aren't living anymore, and I wanted to kind of do them proud, you know, at least their spirit. And I think I've done that, yeah. I try to do that.
Well, I mean, and you're a teacher by trade, so you know you're trying to instill, you know, something,
yeah.
Whether it's, you know, just straight knowledge that you're supposed to be teaching, or you know, just other life lessons to people, young children, and others. Well, so.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that I do that. That's what I strive for in life. Of course, you know, I don't always succeed. Sometimes, yeah, you get lost in your own selfish thoughts or wants and stuff. But I think, you know, everybody's like that. But it shows Cisco's heroic nature, I think. And they keep developing him. I think eventually he'll start using these powers more actively. But I don't think we're going to see that this season. He'll use them. I think he'll be very important in a lot of things that happen the rest of the season. But I think at some point they're going to have to develop him into a hero type.
Well, he took a quantum leap in his abilities this week. I mean, again, every time he sees his evil version use the powers, Gypsy uses powers, he's like, wow, wait, I can do that too? And she was talking about how, you know, he was holding back his powers and stuff. And then, you know, he takes her down. And he's like, is this holding him back? You know, and so I think he may still have some kind of psychological issue that he still has about using his powers because of Eobard Wells, you know, the bad Wells from season one. But it seems like he's kind of broken through that.
I think so, and I think a lot of that came from his evil doppelganger too, from Earth 2, because that was jarring to, you know, for himself to see a bad version of Vibe. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's another person making a difference, and then I did want to kind of give a small credit to Julian. Because he actually helped out a lot this week. He was pretty important in helping.
Oh,
both.
Yeah. I mean, he helped out a lot when you don't compare him to any of the other characters. I'm sorry. I'm really trying to say something nice about him.
he is still working on his attitude, but he's working on it. Even there. I'm very interested to kind of learn a little bit more about why he's even with them. I mean, there's really no reason he has to. Does he feel like he has to make up for some mistakes that he's made this season, or other things that maybe he's done that he's not proud of, especially like being Dr. Alchemy?
Well, he was going to help. Yeah, I mean, he was going to help Caitlin. We didn't. My one complaint about the series kind of in general is they set up one storyline. They have too many storylines going on at the same time. So they set up this stuff with Caitlin. Now we're not getting anything with her this week. We'll skip a week and we'll come back to Julian and Caitlin working together probably next week. But yeah, he was there to help her. I mean, why he was there specifically in this episode when he didn't seem to be doing anything else, you mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those mysteries.
I still feel as if Julian is going to be important to solving the Savitar thing, and also that he's probably not going to make it past this season. But we'll see.
Maybe he'll solve the problem heroically and die in a tragic whiteboard accident or something like that.
It just falls on top of him or something. all right. Well, I wanted to also point out where, as Vibe and Gypsy were combating, they kept going through portals to different worlds, which, you know, is illegal on Earth 19. So I don't know why she was doing that, but whatever. But I thought it was kind of cool. So I wanted to point out a few places that they went. So they went to Earth 2. So we got to see a little bit of that. Earth 38, which, if you don't remember, that is Supergirl's Earth. And we know that because they popped out right in the middle of Katko. We didn't see Supergirl, but we did see Miss Tessmacher, whose assistant is she? Is she
She is James.
Is she James' assistant? Okay.
Assistant now, I believe.
So that was kind of cool. They went to Earth 38. And then they appeared on some lava-riddled Earth. Around volcanoes. So what do we think? Does this mean anything? Are we is this signs of, I don't know, apocalypse maybe? We might see apocalypse on some show. Maybe Supergirl. Maybe Flash. I don't know. Or is this just a Star Wars Mustafar reference? Is that...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It could definitely be another lava Earth, you know. It's the Earth that all kids imagine when they're playing that game, you know. It's like, don't step on the floor, it's lava.
That was the cushion Earth where everywhere you walk, it's got to make sure you're on the cushions. I just thought that was interesting. I mean, I don't even know that they're going to ever reveal that. Maybe they're just trying to throw different environments out, but it was the only one we hadn't seen so far, so we might come across that again.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, obviously, there's an infinite number of multiverses that they can go to. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to sum up on this? Did you like the episode? Were you satisfied?
I did. I liked the episode a lot. I thought Jessica Camacho did a really good job as Gypsy, and just the sureness that she had about her job. Did make her attractive, and just the way that, they had Cisco playing off this character, And the fact that they pointed out, you know, it's like first Golden Glider and now Gypsy. And he's like, hey, what can I say? I'm attracted to bad girls. You know, it's it was really endearing because Cisco, you know, Cisco deserves to be happy, too. And if they're not going to bring back Patty Spivot, I would love to see Gypsy show up on the show some more. I am a little curious as to what they're going to do with HR, like you mentioned, because it does appear from the end of the episode that he will, I mean, we kind of knew he was going to be there, you know, around the season finale time because he's in the future, at least in the future that they saw where he's up on the roof. Of course that could change, but, I wasn't even really thinking that of course he'll stay, but you know, I mean, it seemed, I wasn't really afraid that she was going to take him away. Yeah. I kind of figured they would do that, but how that changes the potential of, is HR going to stick around now? Is he just going to be, is that Tom Cavanaugh's role on the show now in future seasons, or are they going to do something else with the Wells, character that Cavanaugh plays on the show? I'm interested because I like him enough, but I am interested. I'm kind of interested to see other takes on this character. And I got to say, I really like, I think I'm attached to Harry the most.
I'm with you. I think I liked, even though Harry did some bad stuff too, you know, HR's really,
he's kind of brusque.
I think HR's really the only one that hadn't killed anybody yet, but at least that we know of.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, All Wellses, you know, there's all something about them. They all have, you know, similar elements within them, right? Because they're all from the same DNA, I guess you could say.
And, secrets. Secrets and lies. All right. Okay, well, a couple pieces of feedback I wanted to share with you that were thought-provoking this week. Was from Twitter. Benjamin said, last week we had mentioned Human Target. We were talking a little bit about that. And he's wondering, is it possible that Iris's death is actually a Human Target fake-out? Or is that hashtag reaching?
I'd say, I don't know that it's reaching. I mean, it's possible, but, you know, that there are certain characters that appear to cross over between shows and other ones that don't. And I feel like Human Target is a really much more Arrow-centric type of character. But heck, I mean, we had a quick, Flash had a quick crossover into Supergirl this week. Without Supergirl, Legends had a quick crossover into Flash this week, without any of the major characters, but CC Jitters was the location of choice. Arrow had a quick crossover with Flash as well this week, really quick, with Captain Singh. So, you know, they're doing more stuff like that here in a week. Who knows? I mean,
maybe
that is not out of the realm of possibility. It's, you know, any character that's been introduced in any of these three or four shows really is kind of
up for grabs, I suppose.
Still on the table. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that would be a hard death for Human Target to fake with a, you know, giant arm spike through your chest. But I did, after reading this, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe it's not a Human Target, but maybe it is a fake out of some kind. And Barry wouldn't know that necessarily if he hadn't made the plan yet. So it might be.
It's an LMD.
That's a wrong franchise. So can't really cross over for that, unfortunately. So one more message from Derek on Facebook. He did think this was a fun episode and liked the Vibe versus Gypsy fight, especially on the Supergirl set, which I thought was cute too. There goes that coffee table. But he said, I'm glad the Catco office didn't hold out for more money.
Yeah, they kind of trashed it.
Anyway, he liked what they did with Iris on this because she hasn't had much to do, and I was definitely agree with that. He wants to see a little bit more from her besides just being Barry's girlfriend. And I completely agree with you, Derek. I think that's a fantastic idea. And she's kind of gone up and down in this series with me. At first, she wasn't doing much, and then they gave her more to do, and I like for them to see. Even in the comic books, Iris had some stuff to do here and there, and she became a pretty important character, not just in the Flash series, but actually in the entire DC universe. So,
It's hard to make characters that don't have superpowers as important supporting characters in superhero comics.
It is.
It's always hard to find the business for them because, you know, they're always being held hostage to thwart the, you know, the supervillains holding them hostage to make the superhero do what they want and things like that. It's, you know, it's that Lois Lane conundrum from Superman comics and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, she was always around.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, this was a really – that sequence with her talking about how she's afraid she's going to end up like her mom who's not accomplished anything. You know, a very emotional scene. I thought Candace Patton, again, did a really good job on that. I think she does a good job on the show. It's just like Derek says, she doesn't always have she doesn't always have good business to be doing on the show. But I think she always is fully there.
Yeah. It's I'm sure it's hard to take a character like that who doesn't have the abilities and things that the team does and give her some important stuff. So I think they can do it, though. They did this week, so keep it up. A few references we want to share. We just go down the list on here and see what we got. They did at the very beginning. There was a line that was from Die Hard, movie Die Hard with Bruce Willis. And it was HR when he was writing his fan fiction, right? he caught the gun traders and he says, hey, look who has a vortex cannon. Ho, ho, ho.
Yes. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Very much like that.
That was good.
Well, let's see. There was a reference to James Bond. HR asked Julian at the beginning of the episode, Bond, are you coming? And he, funnily enough, of course, you know, just responds directly to that. So,
well, he's the only one that sounds like
obviously
one.
Because he has the English accent. Yeah.
Now, I saw somebody say they referenced Death Wish. Did I miss this one?
Well, they didn't reference the movie Death Wish. Someone said they thought that Iris had a death wish. I think Joe or Wally said she had a death wish. Now, granted, there was a Charles Bronson film, a whole series of films called Death Wish.
Writing lots of stories to make a difference in his city. Is that what that was about? That's all Charles Bronson movies were like, right?
if by writing stories you mean taking out bad guys with his gun,
that's what I mean.
but. Yeah, I mean, you can say someone has a death wish, but it doesn't necessarily mean you
Yeah, I thought so too. All right. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for me. Thank you.
Sure. Cisco called Gypsy Arwen at one point because she's just being so badass. Arwen from Lord of the Rings, the character that was mostly invented by Peter Jackson for the movie, who really only exists in the in the appendices of the
There weren't enough women in it. He had to fit that in there, so that's good. And then we talked about Miss Tessmacher, who I still love that they added Miss Tessmacher, who was a character in the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve and the girlfriend of Lex Luthor. But this is a different Miss Tessmacher, but I still like that they have it.
Yeah. And then when the Cisco Gypsy...
Siski. That's what the media calls him, Siski.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll be their media name. When their duel happens, he says, how do we do this? Westward style? Westworld style? And, you know, take like 10 paces.
Not Game of Thrones, though, huh? Because that's where I've seen a trial by combat, but it turned out much differently than this one did.
Spoilers.
I didn't say who or what. It just, and then finally, Cisco is happy that Gypsy knows a little about Spinal Tap. Turn things up to 11. So
you can hear the stain.
That is what I need to go back and watch.
Everyone needs to know a little Spinal Tap. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, great episode. I had a lot of fun, and I had a lot of fun talking to you about it this week. So I
agreed.
I look forward to our discussions when I've had a long week. It's a nice way to end it up. So, but that's all we have time for this week. So you and I got to run.
Well, let's reconvene again in 7 days, and we'll do it again.
Sounds
How about that?
Fantastic.
Well, if you guys listening enjoy the episode, please be sure to hop over to iTunes, leave some feedback for us there. We love reading everything that people have to say there, and that's very helpful to get more listeners for our show. So thank you so much for helping out. If you would like to discuss anything you saw on the episode of The Flash or anything we talked about here on the podcast, feel free to email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or tweet us at scarletvelocity or stop by and visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
And you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. All of those are over there on randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can find them on iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.